Sachas Nida, Parak Dalad, Mishnah Aleph. This recording may be a bit lengthy, but it won't be nearly as difficult as other Mishnahs that we've done, but it does require some introduction. Benais Kusim, the Mishnah starts out with. So Kusim, just to give a little introduction, was toward the end of the first Beis HaMikdash, after the rule of Yeravam ben Nevat. So Klal Yisrael was exiled to Assyria. So following this exile, the king of Assyria brought people from the Kusis to inhabit the area, Samaria. The Kusis, later known as the Samaritans, were Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Now, there was a story that there was they were attacked by lions. And after this attack, they became knowledgeable about Judaism. They converted and they adopted many of the Jewish practices. So there's a machlokes in the Gemara whether or not their conversion was a good conversion or not. So our Mishnah is going to go like the opinion that their conversion was good. The Gemara says that at a later time, there was an Avodah Zarah that was found in the image of a pigeon, and it was found on Har Gerizim, following which it was decreed that Kusis are to be considered as Avodah Zarah. Now, that's just a brief introduction to Kusim. Our Mishnah is going to establish two rulings about the Tumah of the Kusim. One, the young female Kusi Kitanis are considered as being in a state of Nida from the time of their birth, and two, that a man who would have relations with a Kusi woman becomes Tame in the same manner as one who has relations with a Nida. So now, with bearing all that in mind, the Mishnah says, Benois Kusim Nidais Meyari Sasan, Kuti women are in a state of Nida literally from their cradle, from the time that they're born. The Kusim only observed Torah Shebiksav. They rejected Torah Shebal Peh. So when the Torah discussed the laws of Nida, the pasuk says Ve'isha. So the Kusim therefore believed that the Hilchas Nida applied only to women, not to young girls, not to Ketanais. But the Chachamim, as we know, they followed the Torah Shebal Peh, of course, and they said that Ve'isha would include not only women, but even a female on the day of her birth. So due to the fact that the Kusim assign no significance to dam of a young girl, the Chacham said that a Kusi, young Kusi woman, have to be considered as being in a state of Nida from the time they're born. Even though, of course, the likelihood that a Kusi girl will see dam when she's young is not probable. Nevertheless, our Mishnah makes this assumption in according with the view of Rav Meir, who says that we have to account for this possibility. Now, another thing that we have to know is, another sub-introduction to this Mishnah, a Zav, the halacha is a Zav, I believe we learned this earlier, a Zav who lies on a pile of sheets, and he covers himself with another sheet. So he will be metame all the sheets. However, those sheets which are below him will be an Ava Tumah, and the sheets that are above him will be a Rishon Tumah. The sheets below him can also be Metama other people and Kalim, Metama Adam be Kalim, but the sheets that are above him cannot be Metama other Adam and Kalim, only Oichel Mashka, only food and liquids. So the level of Tumah of a person who has relations with a woman who is a Nida is one level lower than hers. So if he would then lie on a pile of sheets, he would be metama to the entire pile, even though the lower level's sheets did not come in contact with his body. However, since his level of tuma is one less than that of a Nida, the sheets which lie below him would have the same level of tuma as the sheets which lie above a Zav, a Rishon L'tuma. So these sheets can be metama only to, again, to Michael, only to food and liquids, not to people and objects. So with that in mind, Zok de Mishnah, v'ha kusim metama, kusim can be metama mishkav tachtoin ke'elyoin, which means they're metama everything that's below, all the layers of clothing which lie below them, even though they only touch the top layer, to the same degree as that which lies above a zav. Why? Mipnei shehen boyale nidais because they, the male kusim, have relations with women who are in a state of nida. V'hein yoshvas al kol dam v'dam, and that comes about because they, the female kusim, sit and observe the laws of nida for any blood, even dam. Even a dam, which would be, let's say, a color of yellow, which according to Halach is not considered dam nida, but being machmir in this instance causes a problem. If a woman would begin counting the 7 days of nida when she experiences this yellow dam, and 2 days later she experiences a regular dam, so she'll complete her 7 days of counting 2 days too early, and her tefillah in the mikvah will have no effect, and memela, her husband, will have relations with her while she's still in nida. The Mishnah continues, V'ein chayavan aleihen al bias mikdash. There's no obligation on their account for coming into the Beis HaMikdash, meaning one who mistakenly would enter the Beis HaMikdash while wearing clothing that were stepped on by a kusi is not obligated to bring a carbon chatos. V'ein sarfan aleihen asa truma p'nei she'atumasim safek, and also truma, if it comes in contact with clothing that was stepped on by a kusi, is not burned on their account. And the reason why neither a carbon chatas is brought, or we don't burn truma, is because their tuma is mesafik. The Gemara has a bit of a discussion and points out that in Am Haaretz, if touches truma, we do consider tamai and we do burn it. And the Gemara delves into it. And as always, please feel free to delve into that on your own. Mishnah Beis, another introduction, very interesting. Antignos Ishsaichai. Antignos Ishsaichai was an integral part of the chain of command of the Torah, was given from Sinai. And the Mishnah of Us mentions Antignos Ishsaichai is one of the people who gave down the tradition. He was a Talmud of Shimon HaTzadik. And he used to say, he lived during the second Beis HaMikdash, and he used to say, you should be mishamish like a servant. Basically, don't act like a servant who serves their master in a condition that he's going to get a reward. You should act like a servant who serves their master without intention of getting a reward. So, in Avos Rav Nosson, it describes the origin of the tzedukim. Antignos Ishsaichai had two talmidim, Tzadik and Baisos, and they would repeat Antignos Ishsaichai, what we just said, his ruling that he would say, and they would teach it to their students. Now, the students reasoned. They used to say that unless a person had a compelling reason, he would never suggest that a laborer should work all day and not receive a reward. So therefore, if Antignos Ishsaichai did say this, this is what his talmidim said, the Chacham must have believed that there is no life after death, there's no Trias HaMesim, and there's no Olam Haba in which a person is rewarded. And Tzadik and Baisus then split off from traditional Judaism, and they formed their two almost separate religions, but definitely two sects of the religion, the Tzedukim and the Baitusim, which we commonly lump them together as tzedukim. And they, of course, rejected Torah Shebal Peh, and they only used Torah Shebek Tzav. And, of course, just to be clear, Antignos Ishsaichai did believe in Trias HaMesen and reward and punishment, and he was just saying that when you serve Hashem, you should serve Hashem with a higher purpose, not just to get a reward. So, B'nois Tzedukim, the B'nois Tzedukim, when they would follow in the ways of their fathers and not accept Torah Shebal Peh, so then Harei and Kikusin, then they're like the Kusiyos, as we just mentioned Halachas before. Perishu Lechas B'darkei Yisrael, if they separated from their father's ways and they would start following in the ways of Yisrael, Harei and Kisrael, then they're treated like Yisrael. Rav Yossi says we hold the opposite assumption and we say Loilam Heim Kisrael, they're always regarded as being like Yisrael, Ad Sheyifreshu Lechas B'darkei Avoseihen, until they separate and they follow in the ways of their fathers.